Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In part one of Thus Spoke Zarathustra, there's a short section called Of War and Warriors, Krieg and Kriegvolke, the people who live on and desire and, you could say, have their meaning in war and battle, in conflict. And Nietzsche is often interpreted as somebody who glorifies conflict as, you might say, a highest good. In this case, it's not quite so simple as that. He is saying that warriors are great, but they're sort of second best. And if they can't be this, then at least they can be warriors. And that's because war and the kind of disposition or mindset or comportment that it encompasses and brings about is itself good. But it's not as good as the highest good, you could say. At the very end of that section, he tells them, "You should let me commend to you your highest idea, and it is man is something that should be overcome." Now, are you overcoming yourself in war? To a certain extent, yes, but not entirely. And so we're going to see the clues to this in what Nietzsche has to say. At the very beginning, he says, "Be a warrior if certain conditions hold. If you aren't great enough to expunge hatred and envy from your heart, if you're not great enough to not know hatred and envy, then at least don't be ashamed of them. Embrace them. Hatred and envy. The envy that wants you to be above somebody else. If you have that disposition, okay, go with it. Don't try to hide it. Don't just shove it down. Don't be a nice boy or a nice girl and pretend like you don't have these desires and drives." That's if you do have these desires and drives. Obviously, it's better for Nietzsche if you don't. He also goes on and he says, "If you can't be a saint of knowledge, then be its warriors." So warriors are, in a certain sense, subordinate. They're still high, but they're not the highest. Now, how should the warrior, who Nietzsche says he loves very much, how should the warrior live? Nietzsche tells him that you should seek out enemies. You should seek your enemy. You should wage your war, a war for your opinions. If your opinion is defeated, your honesty should still cry triumph over that. You can take delight in the conflict and have a certain nobility of character that allows you to say, "At least I struggled. At least I tried. At least I stepped into the ring." You should hate your enemy, Nietzsche says, but you shouldn't despise your enemy. If you're only fighting against those who you despise, those who you look down upon, what's the point in that? You should actually seek out enemies who are up to you, who could defeat you. Don't just go for the easy conflicts. Don't be the sort of person who takes on just the sure thing. That's not being a warrior, according to Nietzsche. So he tells us a little bit later, "You may have enemies who you hate, not enemies who you despise. You must be proud of your enemy. Then the success of your enemy shall be your success too." Even when the enemy is defeating you, you can at least say, "Well fought. Good show." So it's not just about you triumphing or you succeeding or you shoving everybody else's face in the dust. There's a recognition that's required from the enemy for the warrior, according to Nietzsche. He also has a brief passage here about soldiers. He says, "I see many soldiers. If only I could see so many warriors." So clearly there's a distinction between soldiers and warriors. He says, "What they wear is called uniform. May what they conceal with it not be uniform too." The soldier is somebody who is like everybody else in some respect. They dress like everybody else. They obey orders like everybody else. They are not a warrior as such. There has to be individuality in order to be a warrior. So that tells you a lot about what the warrior is like and should do. There's another key thing here that, again, shows you that the warrior is not at the apex of Nietzsche's hierarchy. The warrior, he says, should let nobility show itself in obeying. He says, you know, rebelling, that shows nobility in a slave. But let your nobility show itself in obeying. Let even your commanding be obeying. So even when you're in charge, you should be obeying something else. Not just making it up as you go along. Not just deciding for yourself. Not just filling your pockets with loot. You should be obedient to something else. Here Nietzsche says that what should really be driving the warrior is thou shalt, not I will. And if you look back a little bit earlier in part one, you see that the lion, who's the most of warriors in some respect, the lion doesn't do that. The lion in the three transformations at the very beginning of this part, the lion says, I'm not going to go along with your thou shalt. I'm going to say no to this. So the lion, in some respects, transcends what Nietzsche here is calling the warrior. In any case, the warrior finds his or her purpose in following the thou shalt, in obedience, in subjecting themselves and doing so to others as well. The other thing that we have to say about this passage is that there's some reversals of valuation here that give rise to the conception that Nietzsche does in fact view war and conflict as good things. He tells us that the warrior should... He says, I don't exhort you to work but to battle. I don't exhort you to peace but to victory. May your work be a battle. May your peace be a victory. And then he says that you should love peace as a means to new wars. So there's a reversal of value here. Very often we say, well, we engage in war not because we love war itself, but because it allows us to enjoy peace. You might think of St. Augustine's famous discussion in City of God, Book 19, precisely about this, and discussions in Cicero, too, about this, and on duties. Nietzsche's saying, no, that's wrong. Peace, you have a peace, hopefully a short one, so you can engage in a new war, a new conflict. What else? He tells us that the good war hallows every cause. To say that it hallows it means that it makes it holy. It endows it with value. As opposed to, you know, waiting around until you've got a good cause and then going to war. Sort of like the person who's always like, hey, you're gonna cross the line, man, so then I can fight you. You just cross the line, you know, then start the fight. And then you'll have a good cause. This is, again, a reversal of valuation. It goes against what we would normally say is good. And then Nietzsche has a third thing. He says, war and courage have done more great things than, here it's translated as charity. A little bit closer translation would be love of neighbor, nächste Liebe, you know, the love of one who is closest to you. War and courage have created more. War and courage have protected more. So again, a reversal compared to the culture of his time. And you can see that Nietzsche is saying that war is a good thing and warriors are good people. They're just not the absolute best. And they have to find the right framework within which they can live this out. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.